So I want to thank our next guest for joining us. We're excited to have Lonnie Dupree back in the studio. And Lonnie has a documentary that's going to be shown for the first time in town tonight. And that is showing at 7 o'clock at Betsy Bowen's What's Upstairs. It'll show again tomorrow night at the same time, 7 o'clock. Lonnie, welcome back to the Roadhouse.
Thanks, Buck. Thanks, Dick, for having me here tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's great. We've been anticipating this for a while, and I know you've been anticipating it longer.
I am tired. I'm really tired of. It's been quite a project, but starting to wear me down. The whole technical end of things. But it's a good thing I got some young volunteers that got the energy to see it through, and I think we got a good product. And I'm still working on it. It's still a rough cut film, but it's getting there.
Now, you started on some pretty major adventures quite a long time ago. That was some of your footage goes back, maybe not in this documentary, but it goes back to the 80s.
Yeah, well, it goes back to 17 years. This material.
That's in this one, huh?
Yeah, it goes back to the start of Greenland, and going around Greenland was hard on cameras. I think John and I lost 8 film cameras in the course of that circumnavigation. Of course, we were on that.
You lost them.
The dogs ate one. fell out of our pocket while we were climbing a cliff to see some birds. Goes into the salt water. In 22 months of trying to film around that, you're going to lose a few cameras.
Now, those were digital cameras when you were at Greenland?
Those were all Hi-8 film cameras. And all that material, that and some North Pole stuff that we had shot, equaled 100 hours of material that we had to digitize. And then after we digitized that, look through it all and then try to whittle that all down into an hour length, hour and 10 minute.
Yeah, film. That's it's hard to imagine. I mean, I just go through my desk at home. What do I throw away and what do I keep? Well, most of the stuff you keep, but in your case, you have to.
You and I wouldn't be good film editors.
No, that would not be the...
And, the cutting room floor would be empty.
You know me, Buck. I throw lots of stuff away. Ann Passis, the One World Expedition manager, when she was helping Eric and I out on that trip, she would say, "No, don't throw it away." Because I always would throw stuff away because I had such a pile on my desk. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, we're looking for the thing that I threw away.
Where did that go? But now in this case, you had to whittle it down and you had to keep just the stuff that was the real substance of your documentary.
I mean, there was so much stuff, I managed to get it whittled down to 2.5 hours, and then I gave it over to Stevie Plummer and Bo Larson to bring it to an hour and 10 minutes because I can't, I need new eyes to look at it, and I just don't want to be that involved. I wanted to maybe work with the music a little bit and kind of write up a storyline, but then I really wanted those two to just pull the material together from the 2.5 hours that
hour and 10 minutes? Is that a standard documentary length?
No, it's just what it ended up being. Maybe when it's a little more fine-tuned, it will end up being an hour, but probably not less. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell the folks out there an overview of what trips this covers and what they can expect to see?
Yeah, well, we call the film Cold Love because of our love and need for snow and ice, and a lot of people don't understand why we might need snow and ice, but snow and ice in our northern and southern hemispheres is basically the thermostat that keeps our planet from burning up. It reflects a lot of that energy back to space that the 24 hours of summer sun beats down on those regions. So not only that, all the skiing and snowshoeing and ice fishing and all that stuff that we all love to do around the Northland here is big in our hearts. So it's a little bit about that. But the film covers three major expeditions. a North Pole trip that Eric and I did, the first summer expedition to the North Pole. We talk a little bit about climate change through that expedition, and then we go on to Greenland. Some interesting Greenland footage that a few folks have seen with the Inuit elders and people netting birds and hunting seals and things like that. And then it jumps to Denali. My last three attempts on Denali, we tried to pull together enough digital material for that film. Mm-hmm. And those cameras are much different that we shot in the early days, or, you know, recently. Those are small digital cameras. You shoot the video, plug it into your computer, and you have a movie. Yeah. Basically, you know. It's a lot easier these days.
Yeah. The the North Pole, the Denali trip is going to continue again this year.
Yes. Last year they said third try should be a charm, and it it wasn't. I'm going to try it again. This will be my fourth try. Changing a few things up. I'm going to use a little bit different food, going with a one-piece suit this time just to stay a little warmer. Going with a small tent made out of Sweden. That can withstand the winds, and I'm going a little earlier to give me more time in January to get up to the summit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would it have made a difference had you had any of those things in the prior years, or were you just had bad luck with weather?
No, it wouldn't have really made a difference. Those are just comfort items, mm-hmm. you know. Okay. You always try to make yourself as comfortable as possible. No, it's always been weather, pretty much weather for me. Although last year I got a little bit beaten down and gotten some fluid on my lungs. Mm-hmm. But had the weather been nice from the get-go of that trip, I probably would have had the strength to continue. But it just was too gnarly up there at that time. So.
Yeah, for those folks that aren't familiar with your efforts to get to the top of Denali, it's getting to the top of Denali in January, the coldest month, and nobody's really done that before.
Right.
Solo, anyway.
Yeah, no one's been, there's been 16 people that have summited Denali either in teams or solo, and of those 16, only 10 have survived that trip because it's, and most, because a lot of the hazards at that time of year, of course, is crevices and then falling on your way down because it's a very big, long, icy slope. Mm. So you have to be very, very careful, not take any chances, really watch the weather, and just, you know, yeah, be very focused.
It occurs to me, we all think about this, the climate change thing, as precipitating some unusually extreme weather in other in parts of the globe. Is there any thought or evidence that the weather is getting more extreme on Denali than it's been before?
Well, weather's, Dick, is getting extreme everywhere. Some places maybe get hit more so in one spot one year and less in another. But it, as a whole, extreme weather is ramping up all over the world. We broke 5,000 weather-related records in 2011 alone in the United States. And this is happening globally. And that's because we're putting, we're putting 90 million tons of CO2 in the atmosphere every single day, and CO2 lasts 100 years in the air. So it keeps going up. And the baseline that scientists kind of drew in the sand years ago was that once we exceed 380 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, we've crossed the tipping point. Well, it's now 400 parts per million. Mm. So it's a serious, serious thing. And the biggest thing we can do about climate change right now is putting a tax on carbon and shutting down coal-fired power plants, which create about 20% of the greenhouse gases alone. Mm. So those are some of the things. But, of course, it's none of those solutions are easy.
Yeah, no. Solutions that create pain or cost money are hard to make happen in our politically charged discussions.
And automobile transportation, or transportation in general, is a big factor too. Mm-hmm. And of course, improving mileage on vehicles would be great.
Yes, yes.
And reducing emissions.
Yep. And you know, I think folks just trying to learn to live with a little more simply with a little less stuff, I think, especially Americans. I'm going to put the thumb on us because that is an issue here.
Just getting back to your trip to Denali, you're coming from 600 feet. That's where we live, 600 feet sea level. So yeah. There's a big adjustment just when you get up and start climbing. Not only is it cold, but there isn't that much oxygen as you move up that hill.
Yeah, Denali is 20,340 feet, and so it's a big hill to climb. There's actually more vertical feet to climb from Denali's base camp to the summit than Everest's base camp to Everest's summit. It's because it's a huge mountain, and the base of that mountain is amazing. You can see it from Anchorage 100 miles away, or 100, mm-hmm. maybe it's more than 100 miles away. It just kind of takes up the entire skyline. It is a wonderful sight to see if you've never been there.
And there's some amazing footage of coming into that mountain in your documentary. And I want to mention to folks that, we've known Lonnie for a long time as an amazing explorer, but the photography the photographs you've taken over the years, the videos you've taken, I don't know if you get enough credit. They are just beautiful.
Thank you, Buck. I mean, it's a lot of times I say when you go to places like that, all you got to do is snap the camera because it's so gorgeous out there that you just, no matter where you got the camera pointed, it takes a good picture. And so I got to give some credit to that.
Well, a little bit maybe, but yeah. I've been in the same places with you. Yeah. My camera doesn't point the same way, I guess.
Exposure in your well, I have that you never my know fingers what, in front of the lens.
Yeah, yeah, anything could happen.
You know, going back to the film, there's I wanted to mention that tonight's film and tomorrow's showing as well is sponsored by Swanson and Herron Law Firm, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to bring that up. And I also want to tell people about the music in the film. We got some really good music. We got an original song done by Daryl Caberly, a classical piece called Arctic Journey. We have Coulter Wilson, who worked with Oh Brother, We're Out There film, getting that soundtrack put together. He's got a song, Base Camp in Babylon, for the documentary. And then James Morris put together four songs for us.
James Morris, of course, has been in this studio many times. He's one of our favorites.
Yeah, he is just, his music just fit perfect into the film. And then Jacob Michael, our own Jacob Michael here, has got mm-hmm. a rock and roll piece in there. And the executive producer was Bo Larson. Mike and Jana Larson's boy did a fabulous job. Stevie was a senior producer right with Bo, and she wishes she could be here today, but she's mm-hmm. she's on her own little traveling expeditions and soon to be living in Hawaii. Probably the first day of frost kind of pointed her that direction. I'm not sure. I just want to thank also all the Kickstarter people that came on to fund the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's the plan going forward? You're going to show it at Betsy's, and I'm sure you're going to show it other places.
Yes, we're going to show it at Winter's Gathering, and we're going to show it at North House Folk School. We're going to show it at Midwest Mountaineering, and then it gets shown out in Washington State in a little town called Leavenworth, and then it'll go from there. And as it starts airing, we're going to polish it a little bit each time, and then after I'm back from Denali, we're going to send it to film festivals. Adventure.
You'll have another success to put on it then after you get back from Denali.
Yeah, you have to do a whole new edit.
Yeah, could be a brand new film.
Yeah,
coming
hopefully
up,
it so. Isn't a video with big purple toes.
We don't want that, that's for sure. Now, I believe that you said that you're going to have the Greenland, some of the Greenland footage in there as well, and some of the elders that we've seen maybe in the past.
Yeah, we're going to have some good dog sledding scenes where we're running dogs in Fan Hitch, visiting Inuit folks in the villages, and then we have some really good cool Inuit kids sliding down the hill jumping with their sleds over the top of roofs of houses. There's so much snow there.
So did you include the fellow that makes all the little string figures?
Yeah, we got Alexiak Dunik showing his string figures on that, couple of figures.
I don't
he
know,
can do
Dick,
61 from memory.
Familiar with that or saw that before, but go ahead and explain what...
Yeah, there's the Inuit in the wintertime play string games, like we string figure mm-hmm. games. Like Cat's Cradle and stuff like that. Except for this guy, he can do 61 different string games and figures from memory. Quite amazing. And we documented all of them. We're only going to show you a couple. But very amazing. And that's what they would do in the wintertime to keep entertained.
And when Lonnie was there, I believe you told me that shortly after you were there, television showed up in that village.
Really?
How much interest are they going to have in those string figures?
Yeah. John and I entered the northernmost village in the world, a little town called Siropeluk, and there were a bunch of Inuit hunters. They still had a bunch of blood on their anoraks and stuff because they just pulled a 2,000-pound walrus out of the ice, which is laying outside the house, and they're all sitting watching a Danish sitcom. You know, polar bear pants, sealskin boots, you know, and... You know, anywhere you can plop a satellite dish down, you can get television, you know. So that's the way of the future.
Yeah, it's a crazy world the way it's
crazy.
We've changed it.
Yeah.
Well, Lonnie, tonight now at 7 o'clock, anybody can come.
Yes, yes. Come on, come all.
And it's happening again tomorrow night.
Yeah, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, yep.
Great. Lon, I want to wish you the best of luck with this documentary, and I hope that... I haven't seen it revised again, but I saw it a couple of weeks ago. And as I mentioned, just the filming alone is pretty amazing footage.
And if listeners are familiar with Lonnie's other productions, his books, they're great. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it? Life on the Ice? Is that what it is?
Life on Ice. Yes.
Life on Ice.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great story. If you haven't read that one.
Thank you, Dick.
Well, thanks for coming in, Lon.